Recently, you must have heard in the news about Joshi Mutt.
The land is sinking in Uttarakhand.
As huge cracks have now appeared.
Buildings are on the brink of...
करीब 40 साल पहले ही इसकी आहट हो गई.
क्या हाल है यहाँ पर आप देखिए.
जोशी मठ में जमीन धसने से और घरों
में हर गुजरते वक्त के साथ खतरा बढ़ता ही.
Massive cracks are developing on roads and houses across Joshi Mutt. It is a matter of concern for everyone, not just for people who live there. Of course, they will have to bear the damage of property as well as lives. But then a larger question comes right in front of our face, and that is, can we have unlimited development? Is there such a thing called unlimited growth? And if there is, then what is the cost? How much will be the cost? And I'm not limiting this question from public administration or economy perspective. It is an open-ended question towards our own lives. Today, every one of us are obsessed and running towards unlimited growth. We are even told without a continuing rising GDP, our country is going to risk social instability, declining standards of living, and pretty much any hope of progress. And many of us are even programmed to believe that growth, when I say growth, I mean materialistic growth, is what is increasing the standard of our living in the present world. Well, that is a false assumption. We also need to look at the cost. And believe me, if we all honestly and genuinely look at the cost, you will realize that the cost is more than the gains. Therefore, this whole idea of prioritizing growth and development is ultimately a losing game. This is a harsh truth. Now let's begin with the video. Let me first show you where Joshi Mutt is located. The word Joshi Mutt is derived out of Jyotirmath, which is the place of Jyotirlinga of Shiva. Joshi Mutt is famous for being home to one of the four peat, or you can call them mutt. Other three are Dwarka's Sharda Peat in the west, Govardhan Peat in Puri in the east, and Sringeri Sharda Peat in Chikmagalur district, Karnataka. These four peat or mutt were established by Shankaracharya, and today the title Shankaracharya is given to the heads of these four peat. As you can see, in Chamoli district of the Indian state of Uttarakhand, located at the height of more than 6,000 feet, you will find Joshi Mutt. Many even call it Jyotir Mutt. As per the 2011 census, population of Joshi Mutt is around 45 to 50,000. It is a beautiful place with picturesque location. As you may know, the Himalayan mountains are broadly divided into four categories for academic understanding. The first one is Trans-Himalayas, which is also called the Tibetan Himalayas. Then there is the Greater Himalayas. In Bharat, we call it Himadri. These are snow-covered all throughout the year. Then there is the Middle Himalayas. These are also called Himachal. Here the peak of the mountains are covered with snow and the remaining part of the mountain has vegetations depending on climatic conditions. And then finally we have the lower Himalayas or the Shivalik ranges. If you look at Joshi Mutt, it lies in the middle Himalayas. Joshi Mutt is a gateway to famous pilgrimage sites like Badrinath, Vishnuprayag, Hemkund Sahib, Valley of Flowers, and it is also a gateway to several Himalayan mountain climbing expeditions, trekking trails, and also to the international skiing destination Auli. Apart from being a religious and tourist destination, Joshi Mutt is also of great strategic importance to the Indian Armed Forces. As you can see from this map, there is a direct road from Joshi Mutt that will take you towards the India-Tibet border. As you may know, 13 districts of Uttarakhand is divided between the Garhwal Division and Kumaon Division. As I said, Joshi Mutt lies in Chamoli District, and Chamoli District is part of the Garhwal Division. Now, one more point about Joshi Mutt is that it lies along the bank of river Alaknanda. As you may know, Vishnuprayag is a holy confluence of Alaknanda and Dhauliganga river. And if you drive along the National Highway 7 in Joshi Mutt, you can see the Alaknanda river running parallelly. And then at Devprayag, Alaknanda river and Bhagirathi river combines together to form the holy river Ganga. Anyhow, so here's the area of Joshi Mutt. Now, what you need to understand here is that if you have studied the theory how Himalayas were formed, some 50 to 60 million years ago, when two large land masses, Indian continental plate and Eurasian continental plate, driven by plate movement, collided, it is called convergence. Before the Indian plate collided, in between there was a water body which was called the Tethys Ocean. So initially, the oceanic crust was colliding with the Eurasian plate. As you know, the Eurasian plate is heavier. So the sediments of the ocean floor started accumulating on the Eurasian continental plate, forming an accretionary wedge. These sediments are what now form the core of Himalayan mountain ranges. Afterwards, when the actual Indian continental plate started colliding, this caused the continental crust to thicken due to folding and faulting by compressional forces, pushing up the Himalayas and the Tibetan Plateau. Here you will also see the continental crust is twice the average thickness because of all the compressional forces from the Indian continental plate. When continental crust became thick, it marked the end of any volcanic activity in this region, because any magma moving upwards would solidify before it could reach the surface. That is why we don't see any volcanic eruption or lava flow in the Himalayas. And then even today, the Himalayas are still rising by more than 1 cm per year, as Bharat continues to move northwards into Asia. That explains the occurrence of frequent earthquakes in this region today. As you may know, in India or Bharat, the Bureau of Indian Standards has grouped the entire country into 4 seismic zones, and they are Zone 2, Zone 3, Zone 4 and Zone 5. Seismic Zone 4 is often referred to as Severe Intensity Zone with an intensity of 8 to 9. And Zone 5 is referred to as Very Severe Intensity Zone with an intensity of 9 or above in the Mercalli scale. Zone 5 covers entire northeastern India, some parts of Jammu and Kashmir, some parts of Ladakh, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Run of Kutch in Gujarat, some parts of North Bihar and Andaman and Nicobar Islands. Zone 4 covers remaining part of Jammu and Kashmir, Ladakh and Himachal Pradesh, Union Territory of Delhi, Sikkim, northern parts of Uttar Pradesh, Bihar and West Bengal, then parts of Gujarat and small portions of Maharashtra near the west coast and Rajasthan. As you can see, the state of Uttarakhand falls under the seismic zone 5. But overall, the entire Himalayan region, as well as the states of northeast India, have been assigned under zone 5 and 4. And I've already given you the reason behind it. This whole Himalayan region is still rising by more than 1 cm per year because the Indian subcontinent is continuously moving northwards into Asia. And I've already showed you the accretionary wedge, which today forms the Himalayan mountains. So what happens is, underneath the crust of this region, there is always some movement going on, because of which soil tends to be a little loose. Even slight tectonic movements cause tremors, and that creates instability, which can lead to landslides inside the crust. Not just outside, but inside the crust. Just imagine, if massive amount of soil gets displaced within the crust, then naturally on the surface, you will see massive cracks. So if you see, tectonic movements are basically pressure that originates inside the earth. We humans don't have any control over it. And that is why we describe this force as endogenic forces or internal forces. But then there is also something called exogenic forces or external forces. Even these exogenic forces are destructive forces. At times, even they are reason behind destruction of the existing landforms. Exogenic forces include weathering, erosion, and deposition due to water, snow, wind, rain, and sunlight. Exogenic forces also include human activities like construction, excavation, man-made drainage systems for human waste, etc. If you look at this place, Joshimath, as it is, it lies on seismic zone 5. And then I have also shown you the Alaknanda River, that is the only major river that passes through Joshimath. And if you look at the width of the Alaknanda River, it is somewhere around 8 to 12 meters wide. Plus, this river has been flowing for ages, and we all know that the soil beneath the riverbed is loose and soft. Therefore, there will be high water seepage. That means this whole Joshimath area, if you look at the land underneath, you will find huge networks of irregular channels, or you can also call them groundwater drainage, where the water is naturally being supplied from the Alaknanda River since ages. On top of it, these are hilly regions. That means, inside the crust, these irregular water channels or groundwater drainage networks will head towards downward region. And I don't mean only the Alaknanda River is supplying the water to these underground channels. Any kind of flow of water occurring on the ground surface, whether it is due to excess rainfall or human wastewater, ultimately these water will be absorbed into the ground. Talking about human wastewater, even poor drainage system can cause underground soil displacement. Because if you are storing massive amount of human wastewater at one particular place, and there is no system or way of letting it flow to another place, so over the time what happens is, these wastewater, they will just sit at one place and starts getting inside the soil, which is called water seepage. The same problem you will get to see in Delhi. Delhi's landfill is basically a big mountain of garbage. Over the years, due to rain and natural decomposition, liquid waste of these landfill seeps into the soil and gets mixed up with the underground water. I don't know about the exact radius, but these dirty water pollute the underground water to at least more than 5 km area. That is why the city is suffering from unsafe tap water. So anyhow, coming back to Joshimath, poor drainage system is also a reason behind underground soil displacement. Now, constant rise of underground water level will make the soil more and more saturated, and it will also erode the rock bed, depending on what kind of rock exists there. And always remember, water pressure in soil will cause loosening of soil, and that will cause major landslides inside the crust, especially in slope area. Any kind of soil displacement or erosion of rock bed inside the crust will cause massive cracks on the surface, because at the end of the day, the underground soil supports the outside structure built on the surface. Heavy construction activities also cause underground soil displacement. In fact, the Uttarakhand government has put a stop to all kinds of construction projects. To build any kind of facility or infrastructure, you need to dig land and lay pillars and beams. Heavy machineries like cranes and diggers are often used, and that creates vibrations. And these vibrations cause tremors inside the land surface. And that also makes the underground soil move towards already existing cracks, and that is again soil displacement. Now, everyone is aware of one such massive construction, the Tapovan Vishnugad Hydropower Project. NTPC is constructing a hydropower project, and many of the local residents blame NTPC for land subsidence in Joshimath, because part of the project also consists of building a tunnel. As of now, the project has been stopped. So anyhow, construction activities are also part of exogenic forces. But then the fact of the matter is, it is very difficult to point out any one particular activity that can cause tremors. That is why in the beginning of the video, I did mention a very important question. Can we have unlimited development? Is there such a thing called unlimited growth? Now many of you may say, well, we need to balance. Balance is a noble word, and it is often used without any critical thinking. See, balancing is a good thing. We all need to balance everything in life. But then when it comes to economy, GDP, growth, material development, any kind of balancing act for a long period of time will also cause stress. Because in a democracy, you cannot keep everyone happy. People will have different demands at different point of time. One important thing about desire and ambition is that once you reach and achieve something, you want more. Similarly, any kind of development will become obsolete after a while. Then you need more. Today, there is only cracks in Joshimath. What if tomorrow the whole area falls apart? That is why I said the whole idea of prioritizing growth and development is ultimately a losing game. If not in the grand scheme of things, at least in this area where the nature is quite vulnerable. That is why I also said this in one of my previous videos. We have to learn to live in sync with nature, adjust with the nature. That's what our ancestors did. As much as possible, we should not think about controlling the nature. After all, we are not separate from nature, we are part of nature. Always remember, endogenic forces are actually creational forces. That is nature's way of creating new landform, mountains, rivers, islands, etc. And exogenic forces are actually wear and tear, destructional forces. And when we talk about balance, believe me, we would never figure out what is the right balance between exogenic and endogenic forces. So, at least in these fragile areas, exogenic forces which are produced by humans has to be very minimal. We humans need to gracefully adapt around nature's course. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.